Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, that was Beyonce's version of Before I Let Go. The instrumental. Yeah, that was Beyonce doing that thing, man. So right now,
she stole the little cameo thing.
She did that same
thing. Cameo.
Yeah, he had some candy in it. There's some candy in it, bro.
Candy, yeah. I know candy.
Yeah, some candy in
there. How you dress it up?
She stole it before I had cameo. LC family. She stole it before I did.
Okay.
Check this out. But Frankie Beverly said he loved it, man. You know, because it was his song. He know she did it Before I Let Go, and then mixed that candy in there and had the old school with the HBCU band, winds in there and stuff, you know, the horns section
probably,
and stuff. She did that thing up.
Probably getting some royalties. That's why he loved it.
Oh, yeah, thank you, brother. Like, hey, man, hey, I can sit back for another year.
Yeah, I would love for Beyonce to steal something of mine. I'd be like, yeah, Beyonce, go ahead and get it.
That's a gift. That's a gift, boy.
Take it, Beyonce. Take it.
And when you put it, let Jay-Z handle it for a while.
Oh, man. How you brothers doing, man? Your brothers doing all right?
I'm doing good, man. I tell you, God,
Curtis, I'm always glad to hear you say you're doing good, man.
Man, I'm doing good, boy.
Man, that's God, right there. That's God.
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? Man,
that's God.
I'm telling you, man. I have looked the devil in his face. And I've seen his ugliness, his bitterness, his meanness, his conniving. And to God be the glory, as the William brothers would put it, I am still here.
Amen.
Not only am I still here, but I'm not bitter, I'm bigger. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'm bigger.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm wiser.
Yes, sir.
Get your rap.
Yes, sir.
To God be the glory. I know that God is real because I know the devil is real. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, the devil is real.
But thank God I realize that God is real. And I believe I have some witnesses out there. Somebody's been through some pure hell, but the hell didn't destroy them. The hell made them better.
Yes, sir. Amen. You just keep on preaching, brother.
Yeah, man. I'm going to give you another minute to say this. I've been on a Facebook diet since March 17. I have not been on Facebook. I hope somebody might eventually miss me. But with that said, you know, it came about with some things going on with Facebook. But Leon, God has blessed me so much until, you know what I spent the other day doing, Leon and Robert?
Rather than planning a march
against racism or some type of march against somebody who's killing themselves, I sat down and assembled a desk for my grandbaby. I went through the hardest assembly format. I mean, there was nothing but wood, man. Screws, wood, and a diagram that looked like a geometry type of thing. You know, just nothing but wood. But when I finished, my grandbaby was sitting at the desk, pulling out her drawer, pulling out her slide, little thing for the computer, laptop. I mean, she had it all set up. Then put together her chair. She had a chair that needed to be assembled. Put together that. That's what I spent my time doing a couple of days ago. And it was the best thing. I saw her smiling. I saw her sitting at that desk that's been in that box for probably about 8 months. And it was just so good to me to know that the devil drove me to the point where I could live and spend time with my beautiful granddaughter, my daughter, my wife. And see, sometimes the devil thinks he's shutting you down when he's trying to get you off the movement for justice and the movement for love and going around trying to help people throughout the state and country. They think they are hurting you when they're trying to push you off and shut you down, but when they're pushing you closer to your family and the people that really love you. The people are not here to set you up and try to destroy you, but push you off to the people that care about you. That devil has not won anything. That devil is losing, and I thank God that God is still God.
Hallelujah, bro.
Hey, Keller, have a question, Bo.
Yeah.
a question. It's important,
yes,
too.
Yes, sir.
Did you have any pieces? You have any pieces left over? Any screws?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right. Just want to make sure.
I believe
kind of
he had,
yeah,
if he had that many screws, he had some left.
I had a few screws left.
Kind of slide them under the table. Nobody noticed. Hey, what's that piece here? Oh, never mind.
Like, can I give a love report, brothers? Can I give a love report? Now, my big brother Cecil, J.C. Gatewood,
wow.
Julius Cecil,
wow.
The one that had the little red four lane with the loud mufflers on it. Cecil came out my house the other day. Anyway, I talked to Cecil on the phone, and he was telling me that he had an electric land tiller. You know, a tiller?
Wow.
You know, it tills up the soil. And I said, man, I would love to have something like that, you know. I said, I got some killing to do. And I said, send me a picture of it. I said, I'll go and get me one. He said, okay, man. But he never did send the picture. A couple of days later, who's on my porch? But Julius Cecil Gatewood. And guess what he had in a big box? The tine tiller. The land tiller.
No, he
did. In the box. Said, look, man, I bought you one. Can you believe it?
Oh,
you
a tiller.
And what made me think about it was he said, "I'll put it together for you if you want me to." I said, "Duh,
well,
And then he put it together.
That's what I was waiting on.
Hey, Robert,
that's
the
love part.
That's the love part right there. That's the love part. Check this out.
Well,
check this out.
I put it like this: that multiplied the love times about a million.
Hey, man, check this out. What he did, Curtis, there were two pieces left.
Okay.
Oh. We can't figure out where they went.
He wasn't the motor.
Okay. There's always something left over. Let me tell you, my baby ain't right yet. I put her crib together. That baby done fell out on the ground so many times coming up. I'm surprised you.
Man, made a lawyer out of it. Hey, Robert, made a lawyer out of
it.
She must have taken those screws and put them in her head. Yeah.
I'm serious. Everybody got to hit their baby on the let them fall on the floor a few times.
Hey, you ever hear people say you're missing a few screws?
Hey,
Robert, you ever hear people say you're missing a few screws? You hear people say you're missing a few screws? She took those screws and put them in her head, man. She found those screws.
There you go.
She got extra screws, man. That's why she's so smart.
Won't he do it?
Leon,
that was a beautiful love report, Leon. I tell you, the getting it there and then assembling it. Leon, I do not want to assemble anything. And Deborah, my daughter, she said, well, you know, if I would have got an assembly, if I would have bought this desk assembled, I would have paid $100 more. And I said, that would have been $100 well spent.
Right.
That's it, because I do not want to do this. I would rather get slapped by bear.
He said the word.
So well, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, yeah, we got to deal with that slapping. We got to deal with that. But let me end my story by saying the thing about it is, and I'm talking to all the men and others around, when you take the time to do something like that, you have left your signature for years to come. Because that
Kelly,
every time my granddaughter sits at death, she gonna think about grandpa.
You got a witness, man. Well, my baby girl, I bought her a desk recently, in the last few months. I put that darn thing together. It took all of Sunday and part of Monday. I mean, my goodness, that thing had so many parts. I said, I know all of this ain't supposed to go in this little desk. You didn't have the picture on the box, right?
Yeah.
And nothing in those pieces look like they're gonna make that box in the end. I'm like, wait,
right.
It don't even look like this is gonna be like that in the end. But anyway, they had a little video that came with it. They sent you to a little website, so it's an app. You put it on your phone while you're working on it.
Lord,
that helped a little bit. But, man, so I know my baby's going to be loving me forever.
there are some things, I don't care how much, how many little diagrams and arrows and numbers they put in there, you're going to have to figure out for yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to have to put something on backwards, take it back apart, put it together again, you know, because they're just not going to make it clear enough.
And you're going to look at that one piece that you put on backwards, you say, okay, can it still work like that?
I know, man. Sometimes you all get through, man.
I put my pool table together. Let me tell you guys. Let me tell you that story. I put my pool table together. You know, when you hit the ball, right, it's supposed to roll down the hill into that little thing where you take the balls out and put them back on the table.
Right.
Well, I had the damn thing. I had the thing rolling the other way. So, I had to take it apart. Man, I almost,
there was no way around.
Robert,
you know
the same thing. I did something.
You see a grown man cry. Look, you got to put them little metal pieces on there so that the drawer can slide in.
Man,
I had the little metal pieces. I had them things on backwards, man. I had to take them off to turn the darn things around so that when you put the other piece that I had to screw on the side of the drawer, that they would kiss and slide in. I had to take them things off, man, to get it to work. But before, like you said, it took me all day. But before it was said and done, that drawer was sliding right in. I had to put the drawers together, everything. So,
yeah, man.
I know what you're talking about.
Sometimes I just wonder why you can't accidentally do it right. Why you can't accidentally do it right. That's what bothers me.
You're not going to be able to do it right. They're not clear enough, man. I can follow instructions, but sometimes the instructions are not even enough, man. You got to come up with some, you got to do some of your own figuring. But anyway.
Hey, guys.
Slap.
Yeah, man. Check this out, man. Right quick. One, the Sykes says Chris Rock apologized to her at an Oscars after party for his incident with Will Smith taking over the show. You know, Wanda says that Chris Rock apologized to her and on the Ellen DeGeneres show Wednesday, Sykes shared she felt awful for her friend Rock. Sykes is one of the two Oscar hosts and one of many celebrities to comment on the incident. She was one of three Oscar hosts. She shared her thoughts on the incident during the award show called Sickening. Huh?
You're my one to fight.
What you say? Yeah.
You're my one to fight. Yeah, I just read her statement. Yeah.
She called it sickening and saying she's still traumatized. Now,
but you know what, Leon?
Yeah, man.
That word traumatized, I heard a lot. And I thought it was just me. Because I'm saying to myself, he didn't hit me. Why am I being traumatized? I didn't sleep that night. And I'm still trying to figure out why this was so personal. And I think I'm coming to some type of realization. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me interrupt.
No. She said, I'm going to kind of end my little Wanda Sykes thing here with what she said kind of near the end. She said, she went on to joke that if Smith had been asked to leave before his category was announced, she would have liked to run out and say, unfortunately, Will couldn't be here tonight. You know, my thoughts are that, first of all, I wondered where security was. I was like, well, this guy just got assaulted on stage, and where is security? I mean, no matter why he did it, why Will say he did it, or whatever the case was, the man was assaulted on stage, physically assaulted on stage. Not only that, Will went back to his seat and taunted him from his seat. So where in the world was security? I was wondering about that the whole time. You know, that just started coming to my mind. Where is everybody? What if he gets back up? What if he comes back and starts fighting him again? I mean, because Chris Rock was very cool in his words. He basically didn't want to incite him anymore. He was already fired up about something. I don't know what. So Chris Rock was very cool, just saying, yeah, man, I won't. You know, it's just a joke. It's just a G.I. Jane joke, man. You know, that kind of thing. But I really wish he hadn't done that. For so many reasons, I wish he hadn't done that.
Here's a breaking story. This just came out a few minutes ago that the Academy said that they had asked Will to leave and he wouldn't leave. They say he refused.
That's why they got security guard. They're out now. I'm going to ask again, where was security?
Leon, let me say something about this, too, because, you know, I work, I do a little part-time thing, and that I'm learning a lot from. As you know, I've called you from several events where the Eagles might have been playing. I've called you during professional wrestling matches getting ready to start. I've called, in fact, I was even at the finals when they started, you know, over in South Carolina. And so I'm at some very high-profile, important events. And one of the things that I work with people doing is helping. I'm not trying to be security. I'm not trying to be a police officer. But I serve as eyes. Sometimes I'm given a radio. Sometimes I'm given, you know, the one to help to try to make sure make sure people are not armed when they come into certain places. And I communicate directly to people such as security or whomever might be in charge of making sure everyone is safe. And what I would say about this situation, since you raised it, I could see how he got on stage being who he is. He walked up probably with authority, and somebody in security could have possibly thought, well, maybe he called him up and we missed him. So when he walked on stage, what I would wonder is once he slapped Chris Rock, where were the people then? Because you could possibly get on stage by walking with authority and being a Will Smith. So you probably could get by that. But when you come down and you still have the audacity to yell from the floor, that is where I kind of wonder, how does that happen? Like I said, I've been in events where there are a lot less, there are not nearly as, I would say, high profile or in need of protection, such as the Academy Awards or Oscars or something like that. And their security is pretty high. So, I mean, they would have someone like me who probably would have stopped him before he even got to the real guys with the gun. I mean, like, excuse me, I don't think it's not your time to go up yet.
Well, let me ask you this, Curtis. What do you think about the slap, man? What? Where are you on that?
Well,
why did he do it? And his reason for doing
it? It doesn't matter why he did it, because what he did, he created a bad precedent. See, what I look at, and this is what I do in the justice business, I look at precedent. What precedent are you establishing? Larger than yourself or larger than the incident at the time, what precedent are you creating? And so I think what is dangerous, the precedent that was established, which may now make people think that when they hear a comedian whose job is to tell jokes say something they don't like, then they might think that the precedent had been established that you can go up there on the stage and hit them or even shoot them or fight them. And so we have to look at precedents that are being established when we allow something out of the ordinary, irrational, something violent that would take place in a place such as that. So I think worse than what might have happened directly to Chris Rock, which, of course, I'm a Chris Rock fan, so it bothered me personally. Because I think Chris Rock is an excellent comedian, and he's one of the few comedians that I saw during the time of the Bush era and other eras where we actually needed someone speaking. He did it through comedy, and he was speaking justice. He was speaking for black people, unlike a lot of comedians who make jokes off black people and try to use stereotypes to further degrade black people through comedy. But this guy would actually be talking about George Bush. He'll be talking about Al Qaeda and comparing Al Qaeda to saying, you know, I've never been, I don't worry about Al-Qaeda. I worry more about the KKK. You know, he was making jokes about real issues in defense of black people. So to me personally, I thought he's always had some courage in his comedy. And he deviated from the norm of just talking about niggas and calling each other niggas and making jokes off stereotypes. So I personally am a Chris Rock fan, so it offended me from that perspective, as well as the precedent that was established.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Which is pretty disgusting.
Hey,
what you got there, bro?
Hey, Leon, how you doing tonight?
Hi, bro.
Huh?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, bro?
Oh, y'all talking
hey,
about... hey, Leon. Hey, Curtis. Hey, Robert.
Boy, you've been...
Hey,
I mean, bro, we're missing you a few... We've been missing you, man. How you doing? This is Joseph,
good,
everybody.
Man.
Toby Gatewood is here.
Joseph Gatewood in the house. In the house.
Yeah,
man,
I'm
we're
doing
talking
much
about,
better.
We talking about the slap heard around the world, just for y'all. I was just about to give you my take, and I'm going to ask you to give yours right after that. So get your thoughts together over there. Well, I'm just going to make mine brief, and I'm going to just state my points. First of all, I'm a big supporter of women, black women. That's pretty well known that I'm a supporter. I mean, I think that women need to be heard, but I think truth trumps, regardless, truth trumps your agenda. So I believe, even though I support women, I support the truth beyond that, above that. I'm familiar with alopecia. When I was a few years ago, many years ago, when I was a manager of this company, this young lady, she was one of my right hand, she had alopecia, and that was my first experience with her, and I could see the trauma that it brought upon her. So I'm familiar with that. I feel that Will went through a buildup. I think he still has some issues with this entanglement that Jada had gone through. I think that statement that Rock made back in 2016 of doing the Oscar So White controversy. So I think that was a buildup, and I do think that he snapped. But there is something that's not, I think is beyond debate, is that this was an assault. This was an assault. I think you can sit here and debate the whys and whether it's right or wrong, but the law states you can't assault somebody based on something they say, because as much as we like to talk about justice and injustice in this country, that is one of the laws that I think that kind of holds the fabric of this fragile democracy and justice system together. You just can't go around punching people because of something they say. I think that this trauma, I heard one of the psychs talk about the trauma. And when I went to bed that night, I could feel I'm kind of puzzled. Why was I so traumatized? But then I reflected on it. We had two black men up there, that people that basically looked like me. And I felt that slap, it really affected me to my core. And it doesn't matter if it was on a national stage, an international stage, or if they were behind the building. When I see black people attacking each other, it affects me. Just like when I see black people working, it affects me positively. When I see black people working together, it affects me positively. And I think that's why it affected me so profoundly. I think that we as people, black, white, or indifferent, it's hard to control what's going to happen to you from one minute to the next. We can't control the predict or control what's going to happen. But one thing that we can control is our reaction. We have the power to control our reaction. And that's one of those, that's a God-given power that nobody can take away from us. And to the people who say, look, hey, he's protecting his woman, he has the right to do that, I'm going to say to those people, be careful, because when you start saying that, and then when that police comes out, see, this could have been a police incident. This could have been a police incident. There could have been weapons drawn. There could have been people shot.
We've seen that happen because somebody was protecting somebody, because there was a beef. Somebody stepped on somebody's shoes. Somebody said something to somebody's lady, and the police comes out, and somebody gets hurt. Somebody gets shot. Somebody gets beat up. Or even in a minor case, they end up going to jail. Now they have a criminal record. So don't be so quick to dismiss the negative impact that could possibly result when you start telling people to take these kind of steps or encouraging them. Yes, we're talking about your honor. We're talking about your feelings, but you may be talking about somebody's future when you're trying to encourage them to defend your honor, knowing how this system works. So I'm just going to say, I think, Will, I know this was wrong. You don't assault people. You definitely don't assault another brother. We got enough problems. And would it matter the color of the people involved? I don't think so. But because I could see myself in these two men, that's why it affected me profoundly and personally. That's all I have to say on that.
Yeah, that's
amen.
That's deep.
Yeah.
My thing remains that it was not the right place nor the right time to do that, to handle that, Mr. Will. That was a terrible thing he did. You shouldn't have done it there. How you could have talked, you could have used that, your power to be positive in this terrible time that you call a terrible time. And I'm not going to downgrade it. It possibly or probably was a terrible time for your wife, but this was not the way to handle it. I promise you. And I think he knows that.
Right.
I'm just talking now.
Right.
He knows that.
Plus, he had
I just
want to
say how he could have used
like,
that power. He
it's not
used
like somebody
power.
On the streets who wouldn't have been heard. He has a platform. He has a voice. It's a different thing if that would have been one of the brothers off the street who would never be heard if he didn't take action at a particular time, or at least he believed that. But Will Smith,
yeah, he's an influence.
Listen to
he's
him
an influence.
He
you're right.
You know what I thought about when I saw that?
Tell us about it, Joseph.
You see a lot of these little old, see a lot of these young black boys out here, you know, shooting and killing and gang banging. And one of the things they always say, he dissed my baby mama. And so that was a high level case of he dissed my baby mama. And of course, and when I hear those young boys off the street say that, I think it's stupid. And so when you see somebody like Will Smith in a position where he is, where he's influencing others, that magnifies the stupidity of he dissed my baby mama, so that gives me the right to go out here and shoot him. And, you know, like we were saying, it goes back to the same thing that we have witnessed over the years. If a black person insults another black person, does anything offensive to another black person, we're always ready to fight. We're always ready to take up arms. We don't have the spirit of forgiveness when we deal with each other. But when a white man exudes violence on you, hurts you, where you start sprouting wings and start quoting every Bible verse you can think of, turn the other cheek. Don't do this. If a man take your coat, take your shirt, give him your coat, and all that kind of stuff. You come up with all of that when a white man insults you or do you wrong. And of course, and that just put all of that right there on stage. And to me, that was a very, for the lack of a better word, that was just a punk move that Will Smith did. It was just a punk move. And the reason I say that is because it reminded me of one Sunday I was in Sunday school, and we were talking about the Bible verse, you know, about turn the other cheek, and people saying they can't turn the other cheek. And so I asked one of the deacons that was in the class, I said, well, and he because his position was, you know, it's not possible to turn the other cheek. So I just asked him, I said, what would you do if I slapped you? You know, asking a rhetorical question. I said, what would you do if I slapped you? He said, well, I'll slap you back. I said, okay. Let me ask you another question. I said, what would you do if Mike Tyson slapped you? He said, well, I'd be just glad that's all he did. I said, well, it shows right there you can turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
It shows right there. I said, you can turn the other cheek. I said, but you just selected about when you were turning the other cheek. The conditions.
That's right.
I said, so in other words, the statement you made is route with hypocrisy.
Mm.
Yeah.
And just like I put on Facebook, you know, and just like I put on Facebook recently, you know, I hadn't been on Facebook in probably 6 months to a year, but this particular incident, you know, pretty much made me want to tell the public something I wanted to say. I said, I wonder if Will Smith would have been able to control his emotions if Dwayne Johnson, also known as The Rock, had joked about his wife.
Hey, Joseph, I've heard people say, would he have been able to control himself if Dave Chappelle had said it?
Oh, he'd have had to control himself. He'd have had to. But see, the thing about it, something else I found out that, you know, Chris Rock has a little bit of a problem with one of his hands. I didn't know about that until recently. And seeing that's what cowards do. That's what cowards do. Just like I had people, I was attacked 2 times, you know, not physically, but verbally. I've been attacked 2 times verbally since I've been an adult. And both times it happened, it was during the time when I was taking chemotherapy and I looked frail and weak.
Mm-hmm.
That's
going to
happen both times. But I'm saying that's what cowards do. That's what cowards do. And Will Smith showed himself to be the biggest coward on the planet.
I'm going to tell you another reason why he's a coward. Look, if you notice, I don't know if you're all aware of it, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty clear. He laughed at the joke.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that he laughed at it, and it showed that he wasn't really operating from the emotions he got up there and cried and claimed he was. This was an act just like the acting that he does. He did something, I guess, to try to save face with his wife, that people would think that he's not doing well with his wife, or he's a punk, he let a man come in and make love to his wife and all this other stuff. So he had to try to prove he was a man. So he actually had laughed at the joke, then turned around and saw she wasn't laughing. And so that's when he walked up. But it wasn't like a driven emotion of a case of temporary insanity or something like that, where you just respond without thinking, or you just respond and right away you do something that you probably regret you did. He laughed at the joke, then turned around, and then had to prove something to her, evidently, which also is cowardice, because if he really felt that way about her, he would not have had to look back at her. He would have responded based upon what he actually felt in his spirit. But it was driven by an agenda. It was driven by something other than the temporary insanity that might make us do something spontaneously before we think about it. So that argument doesn't work either.
Not at all. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother Faria Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. We have a call on the line. Caller, how you doing tonight? Ms. Brenda Colson Richardson, how you doing tonight?
Great. How are you doing?
Great. Glad to have a lady on the line to hear that female perspective.
Hey, Brenda.
Yes, yes. I've been listening, and everyone had the right things about that, because at first when I seen it, I thought it was a skit. I thought he just went up there and they were acting, because I do that too, and I thought that was.
It does look like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it looked like it was all that. But then when they slowed his shoulder, I'm like, oh my, no, he really hit that guy. But
and
the
then
point was,
in the audience too. Yeah.
The point that got me was because there's children that looks up to Will Smith. There's young kids that look up to Will Smith, and he brought something to them that is okay to do what I just did. He just taught the young kids it's okay to do what I just did. And not only him, I get her also, because she could have prevented, she could have grabbed him and said, no, don't do it at this time. She could have stopped him, but she chose not to. She chose to let him go and embarrass himself and her family also. But the key was, a lot of people going to dislike you, say things about you, and you can't go on what people say. You all have to control yourself. With him being an actor, producer, and all of this, he should have known. And when you act, you have to control your emotion sometimes. You have to act sometimes. You have to do this sometimes. So he could have controlled what he was going to do. He did it to impress her for some reason. He walked up there to impress her for some reason. Because as an actor, I know you can control certain things you do. When you're in, your adrenaline is in you. So with him, what got me was you were showing our young generation that whatever you feel, you can go do it. You can go slap, shoot, do this. I did it. But see, he goes and cries, but see, the damage has been done. The damage did. Because now kids are saying, well, Will Smith did it. I can do this. And so a lot of people looked up to him. So that's what got me. I'm like, why didn't you just wait to the end of the show and pull him aside and say, man, my wife is going through this, which I have friends that have that disease. She's going through this, and it's hard for her. She could have waited until after the show to pull him aside and deal with it. But he went on national TV. He knows this thing was broadcast everywhere, all over the United States, other countries. And he's showing people, don't control your emotion. Just do what you feel. And seeing that, just, I'm like, okay, Will, I used to respect you a lot, but you just put yourself, you have taken your, I know you call yourself honoring her, but she didn't honor you by not pulling you back and saying, no, don't do this. So she didn't honor you by keeping you making a dumb dodo of yourself in front of the whole nation. So why couldn't you just sit there, just like Curtis said? He laughed at the joke at first. He laughed. He sat there and laughed. They shut the camera on him. She turned her head and wiggled in his seat. And that's when he decided to get up there. And then when he walked back, he's going to sit there and do erupting show and still call out things. And I'm like, where is your control? What are you showing even your children? Your children sit there. What are you showing them? See, and that's what I mean. I'm looking at the children. What are you showing the children?
Right.
What I'm hoping, Brenda. I'm hoping I'm gonna try to give Jada the benefit of the doubt. I'm hoping that she was as shocked as the rest of us that when he went up there and slapped the man across the face, because I don't think that he said hey, Jade, I'm going to go up here and slap the food, slap Chris Rock upside the head. She might have, even though she may have wanted him to defend her honor, I'm not 100% that she co-signed on him going up there actually assaulting the man. She may have
no.
She may have thought like the rest of us. He was going up there to maybe whisper in his ear, take the mic, and say, look, let me just make an announcement here. So I don't know that she knew what was in his mind.
I've been in some shows stuff. You a script. Everybody that's have a part in a show is script the what to do, and she knows that. He knows that. If you had a part to do to go up there, you already know in advance that you got this part of going up there. So when she seen him get up, she knew he wasn't in the script to do that, so she knew what he was doing. See, I'm not saying she didn't allow him to do, but the point was, even with her being in show business, she could have stopped it too. I know she's going through this. Like I said, I have a lot of friends. It's like it's an immune system that attacks itself. I have a lot of close friends that have that, and they go through that. So I understand some of the part. But with her still being a woman and a wife of him, she don't want him to make a dunce out of himself. So she could have just kind of reached and said, no, not this much, and kept him from going up there. Don't do it. What you going to do? Wait until after the show. She could have grabbed it by the coattail or said, no, Will, no. And then, because he looked at her afterwards, see, and that's why I say she could have prevented it. Also, the look that she gave him, I think she gave him the look because she was laughing. That's
she
why she gave
him, like,
the look because she was laughing. And then he thought to make up for that, for laughing, he had to do something. So
and she looked
her,
at him like,
I know, because he laughed.
Yeah.
He laughed at the joke, which, like, Rock didn't know. It's a movie. He didn't know about her disease, but it's a movie out about that, and he didn't know. But she got angry. I think she got angry at Will, too, because Will did laugh. He laughed. When he was telling the joke, he laughed, and I think to make up for it, and that's why she didn't stop, because she was angry at him, too, for laughing at her. So she was going to let him go up there and make a dunk, because he did laugh.
Is alopecia the same thing as ringworm and tetanus?
It's an autoimmune disease that makes your hair product attack itself, so all of your hair start coming out in spots. Sometimes it all come out. Sometimes it just comes here in the back or to the top. And see, and that part where it's at, it can regrow, but you have to get some kind of treatment. But she decided to cut all of her. You can get, with her money, she could have got it, but it's a slow process. So with that, but you hate that. But the point was, she could have stopped him, and she had children. Her children was around them. That's why that's what got me, because I'm like, you teaching our young generation how to continue to fight. They're going to fight anyway in school. Sometimes you say, you said this about it, and I have, being in school, I have to calm down children. Well, he said this, and I'm like, I'm like, if you allow words to keep you doing things that gonna get you in trouble, you're not gonna make it in life. You can't allow, because people gonna think, say whatever they're gonna say about you, and you got to learn to control your emotion. Well, he taught our children, the one that looks up to all his shows that he done made, everything he done produced, that it's okay to be angry and go and do this in your anger. You can do, but see, once you do it, you can't take it back. Once you pull that trigger, there's no taking back.
But,
and see, that's what has gotten me so upset with Will, because I'm like, you hit somebody,
you know, like,
and that, I'm like, if he can press charges on you. But the point was, what did you teach your children? What did you teach the young generation? What did you do, Will? I know you apologized up there, but what did you just do?
That's a lot. One of the consequences, and I do it on my show, my weekly show. I have a section actually called War in the Workplace, Why Are People So Angry? And I actually did a post today on LinkedIn and Facebook, and I addressed this. I pulled an old show from a year ago because I was warning people about this type of situation. And one of the things I admonish people is that this does not affect only you. When you do this, when you do these kind of things, it's a selfish move because it has so many repercussions. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your contractors, your employees, your staff, your neighbors, your friends, your fraternity brothers. When you go out here and do something boneheaded, it has a ripple effect. People, you got kids out here trying to apply for a job. You got people trying to get in colleges. You got people out here trying to get contracts, and you are affiliated with these people. It tarnishes them. Selfish move.
Imagine this, Robert.
How this is going to affect other people. Huh?
Yeah, Robert, imagine this now. The whole Williams family was sitting there waiting on that guy to get that award for portraying their father. And this fool gets up there and slaps somebody in the middle of the show. That's just crazy.
Here's what I'm going to say right quick.
Will lost his mind. Will needs counseling. Will lost his mind. If only for a moment, he lost his mind. The guy lost his mind. He needs help.
Love.
Well,
hey, Leon.
You're
getting an award.
Yes.
Leon.
Yes. Yes,
you
sir.
You know what? I heard today, I don't know whether, you know Chris Rock got a show coming up, right?
Yeah, man, I've been trying to get tickets, but, man, it's too late.
Yeah, they talk like it's sold out. He's going on tour. Everywhere he's going to be going, it's sold out now.
A $40 ticket now costs $400.
Well, the last I heard, a $70 ticket was up to $700.
That's what I'm saying, 10 times.
Because they want to hear what you got to say about that, Negro.
But if he doesn't say something about him, if he doesn't say something about him, they're going to throw eggs at him. He better come out talking about it.
He thinks
Will slapped him.
I bet you who else going to have a field day. Dave Chappelle going to have a field day.
Everybody
wants to
hear what Dave Chappelle has to say.
Well, they say Dave Chappelle been trending ever since this happened because everybody been checking to see if he said anything.
Now, this nigga walks up in the middle of the Academy Awards. What kind of drugs is he on? I don't want none of that stuff.
Everybody with a platform, publicity doing this series. So if you have a platform, everybody, whether it's Roland Martin, Joe Madison, everybody has chimed in on this. And so, and it goes back to that another thing I've talked about in context. If you have a platform and people want to talk about this, they really do. It's been so personal to so many people. It's like we need this collective therapy to get it all out because it has affected people in some profound way. And I don't want to dismiss people that have alopecia. I don't want to dismiss any women that feel like that they have been wronged or disrespected. I want to say, look, I'm 100,000% behind protecting our women, but there's a way to do it. Everybody in jeopardy, including yourself.
Like I said again, we had to look at precedent. And people, the reason why people like Dave Chappelle would probably have to respond wrongly or at least think about what's happening is because there are people who want to slap Dave Chappelle. There are people who want to shoot Dave Chappelle. And this type of precedent establishes a bad way in which people can start looking at comedy and thinking they can get away with something because, well, this black guy went up there and slapped somebody on the stage, so we went Why don't they now, of course, a white person did it because he didn't like Dave Chappelle joke about white poor whites. You know, it's always something that could trigger something else, and that's why I think it creates a dangerous precedent, and that is why, you know, it really has to be nipped in the bud, because, you know, comedy, we've known it, you know, ever since its existence. It will insult some people, but if you don't have a sense of humor, or if you're in a celebrity status and you have thin skin, you know, that's usually, you know, a problem, because when you become a celebrity or when you become a public figure, people will say things about you that you will not like, and they will say it about your family as well. That's a part of...
Well, let me ask you this, guys. Let me ask you this. Was alopecia out when Dad used to cut out hair with those manual clippers?
Daddy may have started alopecia.
That was self-inflicted alopecia.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. We might look like we
had the disease, but, you know, we couldn't have thought it. We weren't quick enough on our feet to say that was what it was. You know,
right. What's wrong with your head, man? Oh, alopecia. We got alopecia, man.
I was about the ninth grade. This girl said, she said, she looked at my head. You know, Dad had done got a hold of me. I thought myself having a good uncle there, right? So I walked up there. She looked at me. She said, "Now, Joseph, you're too old to be letting your daddy cut your hair now." Well, I can't figure out. And I used to have 10 boys that don't never figure out how to cut hair. That's the thing I can figure. 10 boys could never figure out how to cut hair. Yeah.
Cecil did, didn't he? He didn't ever cut out, though. I don't guess. I don't remember, man. But I know we had some bad hair. The first time I got a real haircut from a barber was when Aaron died. That was in 1975. I was in the 11th grade. All the way up until then, and Daddy did it. So Daddy didn't, he had tears in his eyes. He didn't want to do it that time, but he sent me to the barber shop to get a haircut when Aaron passed away.
You boys been doing good. Don't get the alopecia crowd mad at you. Yeah, you've been doing good.
I'm going to reiterate. I said it just for the record that I don't want to downplay or minimize or how tragic and how traumatizing it can be to have this disease. Because I had an employee that had it. That was my first experience with it. So when I first heard it, I've been hearing about it over the years, and each time I've heard about it, I'm already sensitized to it. So actually, I tell you something else too. I did not know that Jada Pinkett had it until that night.
Right.
I did not know she had it.
I really didn't either.
That was a shock to me.
I'm sure she talked about it, but I didn't hear it.
Once I knew that she had it, once I heard that she had it, my heart went out to her, but her husband handled this the wrong way. We can't conflate the two things.
So is it possible that my man didn't know? Is it possible that Chris Rock didn't know?
No, he didn't know. But let me tell you something else, though. This is something we hadn't considered. She may not even have it. That might be just something Will Smith said.
She had it. I'm pretty sure she had it, Joe. She talked about it. She had it since 2018.
Okay. In a celebrity status, and you got comedians out here, comedians could know and still make the joke. But the point
that's
is,
true.
How do you respond to it? Do you go up there and slapping somebody on stage, or do you talk about it by doing a lawsuit, or what? They could know, but still you don't do what Will Smith did. You see what I'm saying? If he had a joke, and he said, "I'm gonna make a joke about it because she seemed to be in good shape otherwise. She seemed to be healthy." And I do know the G.I. Jane story, how the woman went up and cut her hair. She reminded me of G.I. Jane, so I'm going to make a joke about it. He could have known. But Will is still wrong.
Will is wrong. There's no justification for Will. And what Chris Rock should do just to make a point is file charges against him. That's what he should do just to make a point. Don't do this anymore. Because, you know, that's what the penal system is about. It's not, it's about punishing you to let you know what you did was wrong and not to do it again.
Yeah, he wouldn't be wrong for doing that. He wouldn't be wrong if he went out and did everything he could to make sure that he was penalized and he was charged to the fullest extent of the law. If he went out and did that, there's nothing anybody could say about it because he should not have put his hands on this man. And if he wanted to deal with this, there is a way to do it. And like Joseph said, I'm sure he wouldn't have done it if it would have been a man two times his size. He wouldn't have done it.
No.
He would have figured out a way to deal with it.
Yeah,
hey, Joseph
can control their emotions. I mean,
yeah,
I guarantee
Robert, Joseph, you and Robert are four-year lawyers. Does he have to wait? I mean, can't somebody else file charges or the state or somebody file charges against him for assault?
California police have already said that the California police have already weighed in and said that they would not make an arrest unless Chris Rock came forward and filed charges against him.
I'm just asking. My question is, could they?
They could. They could legally charge him, and Chris Rock would be a material witness, but it's a stronger case. It's a very weak case if the victim does not come forward, but it's not a requirement. You can't walk down the street and shoot somebody and say because they didn't file a charge against you that it's okay. Certain things are just against the law, and assault is one of them. You don't have to have it's not a requirement for the victim to file charges. It's up to the prosecutor to decide whether or not they're going to bring those charges. But it's a stronger case if the victim files the charge. So in this case, Chris Rock has chosen not to, and they said he has up to a year to change his mind. So it's still Will's still not out of the woods yet.
Man, that's a heck of a slap. So what about the people? What about these people who are saying it was staged? What you guys think about that?
I think that's. I don't think that's anything to that. I think that was. I had something to say. I mean, everything is possible.
When people look at it and how it looked and how Chris Rock was so cool about it and turned his head and things like that, that make people feel like it was staged. However, I think it becomes clearer that it wasn't staged when Will Smith comes off the stage and continues his, like you said, taunting or his cursing and yelling at the guy while he's trying to carry out his business. So I think, you know, it could look that way, you know, when you see it. But I don't think Will Smith would have had anything to gain by staging something like that. And at the time, I don't think Chris Rock would have either. So you got to look at, you know, when people say stuff, it has to be something in there for them. Now, of course, Chris Rock probably wouldn't have known that it caused all his ticket sales to go up. But at the same time, it could cause Will Smith to probably end up in jail or punished or even could cost him a lot of opportunities that he would have had otherwise. So I don't see anything for him to gain by staging it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to close that in. Go ahead.
I can tell you one thing with all sincerity. Chris Rock is a better man than me. Because if that nigga slapped me, we still be fighting. You ever seen that tiger on the Flintstones when Fred that tiger just stuck to him.
I will say, Joe, this is the first time I've seen so clear a person turn the other cheek. I've never seen it that clear before. It would have been something that would have caused him to just start fighting and swinging and running and screaming and hauling. But I've never seen anything like that. That's the only thing that make it look like it could have been staged by how he responded.
Right. I would beat him up.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost beyond human.
You know what? Even if
Negro
I went
was
against
still down there cursing. And if the one who got slapped was the one still being cool while the one who did the slapping was still down there cursing.
I'd have been standing outside of that that venue with a baseball bat when he walked out of there.
Let's stick with turn the other cheek, brother. Let's end this on a good note. Let's stick with turn the other cheek.
Yeah, let's say Chris Rock handled that thing perfectly.
Well, I'm gonna just flip this thing now. For instance, if you guys, wives or whatever, were in the audience and some person up on the stage or something said something to offend you that was offensive to you, would you want to go up there and, I know this is a rhetorical question, but would you just want to go up there and slap the fire out of the lady because she did that? I mean, would that be cool?
I wouldn't have slapped him that night, but I'd have probably pulled him to the side and I'd have either taken care of him at a different place in a different time. But I wouldn't have got there before the entire world and show black on black violence, because we have enough of that. We have entered an era of violence and lawlessness in this nation and in the world. So why would you come up there and perpetuate it before the entire world could see black man against another black man? That's all people have been talking about.
He lost his mind, man. The guy lost his mind. Huh? He needs therapy. He lost his mind. He needs therapy, man.
He lost his mind.
That's the only way I can figure this one
out. I could probably
see that. The guy lost his mind.
If you really got hurt about it, I could understand him saying something out in the audience to show that he didn't like it. But to actually hit then,
I can't even
come out
that.
And feel back in the audience too, I mean, that doesn't make sense.
But I would
have
one night
considering he thought
that had some kind of hold on this dude, man.
They were one night I was at a show, comedian started making a joke. He was making a joke on me. Guess what I did?
You gave him a drink or something?
Yeah, I flipped the strip on him.
What did you do? What did you do?
What did I gave him a drink. I said, man, you need a drink. That's pretty good. When I said it, everybody started laughing. I just came onto my table and poured him a drink and went back up there telling them jokes.
You boys are funny.
That's pretty cool. But here's what I'm going to say, man, in closing. I just think Will lost his mind. And I do think Jada has some kind of control over this guy, man. He, you know, they're into different kind of stuff. You know, they different. And,
He definitely did it to get back in the house.
A lot of time a woman do stuff like that, edge on and stuff like that. A lot of time a woman edge on like that, she wants you dead. You know what I'm saying? She might want you dead. Look at things from a whole lot of different angles, buddy. The woman edge on.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get him. Get him. If you crazy enough to go, I'm gonna tell you something. This last thing I'm gonna say. Principal told me something when I was in high school. He said, "You start doing something every time a woman tells you to do it. You know, some women, not all women. You know, especially when it comes to violence. Either you won't live long."
That's funny. That's
good. I don't want to.
She might want to be, man, but anyway, I really feel sorry for, I feel hurt, I got hurt for Chris Rock, because that's my buddy, man. I watch that guy. I like his style, you know.
Again,
Will's put
like
out a lot of good movies, iRobot, you know, and stuff. Independence Day.
Somebody was
all those good movies I don't want to watch anymore.
Somebody on Facebook, somebody, well, Chris Rock had said that if that had been a white woman. I said, you remember what Chris Rock said about Hillary Clinton?
They don't listen at all. They should have just stayed home, whoever said that. They need to take Facebook from them.
I ain't never seen Chris Rock discriminate based on your color.
No. You got that right.
Like I said, Chris Rock is one of the rocks who stood and spoke directly into racism's face. White people's face.
That was nothing to say.
He talked about Bush during the war. He talked about how, you know, the war was being used. We're talking about Al-Qaeda, but we should be dealing with KKK. I mean, he just dealt with some strong issues, man. So nobody can say that about Chris Rock. We got a lot of comedians out here who made their living off negative stereotypes. He's not one of them.
He is well read, and you can tell it by the way he tells jokes. By the way he tells jokes, you can tell he's well read.
And the last time I saw him do time, he kept talking about how he could prepare his children for the white man.
Oh Lord,
he kept talking about the white man. You know, he was. I mean, he was sounding like Farrakhan.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Red Brothers for Real Radio Show. As you can hear, the closeout music is in the background, but we may sit here and talk another 5 minutes. And we don't talk to each other a lot, so we're doing it on TV, man, on live radio. Good to hear you, brothers, man.
Wow.
Well, Curtis, you're going to be on your way down here tomorrow. We're going to be hanging out at Anson Middle School. Curtis is going to be hanging out with us at Anson Middle School, looking at our kids. Kind of get their self-esteem together. So we're trying to make things happen, man. We got to really look out for our kids. Our kids and that's another reason incidents like this are not good. Kids already struggling on how to be and who to be. Then one of their idols come up and just slap somebody on the stage. That's just crazy, man. I don't want to start back talking about that, but that's just. I'm hurt about that. I don't like that. I got to get over it some kind of way. But anyway, our 5K is coming up May 14th. Joe, you remember last year you were our presenting sponsor. We'd like to thank you in advance for being our presenting sponsor again this year. We're looking very forward to having a really big show. Robert, I think that would be a good weekend for you to come back down. We've got a lot going on. We are honoring literacy again this year during the show. We're doing the event on May 14th. We're dedicating it to literacy. We're inviting all the authors we can get our hands on to come down here and set their books out and try to encourage people to start back reading again. That's big, man. We're excited. Maybe I will have my book out by then. The name of my book is going to be called The Holler Man.
Holler Man.
The Holler Man. Yes, sir.
What's the date event in May?
Sir?
What is the date? What's the date?
May 14th.
May 14th.
Yes, sir. May 14th. Look at the bird. Look at the sky. Look at the trees. Look in the streets. It's the Holler Man. That's a joke, everybody. That's the last joke of the day right there.
Not a good one.
I know, man. I don't want anybody waking me up in the morning saying, is your book out yet? You know?
Wow. Holler Man, the domain is $3,500. Dang.
What?
I was seeing that if that name was available, the domain was available, somebody got it and they're charging $3,500 for it.
$3,500. Who they think I am, Chelsea Clinton?
Holler Man. Maybe you put B in front of it, the Holler Man or something. He'll get it.
Try that.
All right, let me see.
Hey, man, I talked to you guys later. I think I'm going to hit the road.
I was talking to a young homeless man. Hey, would you like to come to church with me? His response was no. People would laugh at me. I have them nice suits.
Oh yeah, coming up in September, the Gatewood Brothers reunion, Gatewood Brothers concert reunion. Come on.
You don't need
you can have a hole in your shoes. Sunday best can be more than you.
Leon, bro.
Yeah.
All right, man. You gonna close things up?
Yeah, man. I'm gonna close it out, bro.
You gonna close it up? All right, man.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna close out after this song, man.
Go right ahead. I'm out.
Be safe out there, bro.
Hey, bro. Good job. I'm from the hood, but I'm just as good. My clothes are worn, but my spirit's not torn. My shoes are used, but I'm praying to you. God got my back, so I can't
do it. Please come up. Don't need a difference. I'm saying my love. Feel me, no, nothing. Oh, if you never hold me, you do. Sunday best can be what it is. I'm thinking, I believe you have a
some hard times and realize that the only thing that brought you through was the love of Jesus. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Yes, come as you are. You don't need a new house.
Hi, man. Hi, bro.